Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
Well, Denise couldn't be with us today, but we're going to be presenting some January gardening tips. And Bill, both you and I were quite surprised as to how many tips there were for January. A lot of people sort of still in hibernation mode, I think.
Exactly. It really is an interesting time of the year. It's more of a thinking, planning, small things as opposed to large projects, but it is a fun time of the year, and I enjoy it because the weather, the daytime temperatures are conducive to going outside, so it really is, I like this time of the year.
Yeah, I mean, earlier this week, we had temperatures dropping down to, 18, 19 degrees,
yes.
But we still had a really pleasant afternoon.
Right,
so.
It gets up to almost 60, and they've been very, very, very pleasant days compared to the rest of the country, particularly.
Well, the good thing is we are getting these pleasant afternoons, and so this is, I think, a really great time for people if they want to transplant any mature or established trees that they might have in their yard. They might not like them in one spot and they want to put them in another. This is a really good time to be doing that.
It really is. If we get calls at this time of the year, they're usually having to do with transplanting and pruning. So we'll cover those two subjects today. But transplanting, it's an ideal time of the year. We do advocate that you shovel prune a plant, particularly if it's of any size. Shovel prune it maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks before you actually transplant it. And that shovel pruning means that you just go down with a shovel and you take off the outside roots of the root ball, cut it down to a root ball size that's manageable. Whether you have 2, 3, 4 people, that determines how large that root ball is. But do that ahead of time. It's just less shock to the plant, and you've got a more successful rate of transplanting.
And one of the other tips that we have for this month is, you know, a lot of people, I think, are maybe looking at planting some larger trees or shrubs in their yard, since I guess it's still a pretty good time to be selecting plants for that. But the rule usually is that bigger isn't always better. And, you know, we see a lot of times people who transplant these large trees that might not have a very large root ball. And so they put these trees in their yards and they expect this tree to be looking fantastic in the spring, but because it was so large and it didn't have enough roots to sustain it, it's going to die.
It is. The ratio of success is diminished by the size of the plant that you're putting in. That's just a matter of fact. And I do understand people want instant gratification. They want instant shade, things like that. But they always say that you need to put a dollar plant in a $10 hole as opposed to a $10 plant in a dollar hole. I like that adage because the actual process of digging the hole and all is actually more important than the plant itself.
And I think people would be surprised as to how quickly some of these plants and trees and shrubs grow. Because I think if you put that tree in your yard and you buy sort of a young tree and you take a picture of it the next year and then take a picture of it the year after, and you're going to see a really significant difference.
And I've noticed that particularly with our desert plants, the ones that we really advocate for around here, they grow very, very quickly. And it's a real success story. In fact, the story that I hear more often than not is that I overplanted. I planted things too close together because they don't realize how quickly things do grow. So just encourage people to go into the 1 gallon, the 5 gallon, the 15 gallon size as opposed to the much larger plants. Trees are usually another matter because they are a little bit more slow growing.
And I remember an adage from several years ago from when this show was still called Sunscape, and Cheryl Gehring had a neat little rhyme. She said that the first year the trees sleep, the second year they creep, and the third year they leap.
That's cute. It is good. I like that because it does take about a year or two for the root structure to get stabilized and realize that it's decent soil. And if you've chosen the right plant, then they will take off, usually starting in about the third year.
And since we are seeing some pretty pleasant temperatures for the most part so far this winter, I think maybe a lot of people are already looking ahead to spring. And if maybe you subscribe to seed catalogs, this is really a good time, I think, to start thinking about what you want in your yard.
Well, it is. I got my Burpees catalog about a week ago, and I've I can give it to you verbatim now. What's fun about the Burby catalog is that they do come up with new varieties every year. And they come up with better tomatoes, faster growing, faster ripening, better tasting, all that, supposedly.
So what do you have your eye on? We know you're usually sort of the experimental gardener on the show.
I'm going to try a different tomato this year and see what it is. There's one that they're advocating. It's a two-pound tomato. I don't think we'll try that one around here because tomatoes tend to split around here anyway, even smaller ones. But I'll choose one or two and tell the people out there my experiences.
And I think it's a really great idea to be thinking about starting your plants from seeds, because a lot of people like myself, for example, we want to just go ahead and start them young and then just take them from there as a little young sapling or a tiny little young plant. But I think to maybe see something start from seed just sort of gives you a little sort of special feeling.
Well, and Dr. Masabni from Texas A&M University was visiting in El Paso last year, and he suggests that people transplant broccoli. Broccoli is a very popular vegetable, but this is the time to put it inside and let it get up 2 or 3 weeks size and then put it outside, and it will do substantially better in his estimation. So I'm actually going to do that. I have bought some broccoli seed, and I will be seeding, and then I'll put it out in the garden in about a month.
Well, it's also, I think, a good time if you want to go ahead and start sowing seeds for some colorful annuals. I think would be a really great time to maybe sow some seeds for petunias or begonias.
Yes, exactly. I've just recently seeded some stock. It'll be ready to put outside in about a month, and so that's good timing. That's one of my favorites that we've talked about a couple of times.
Well, you were talking about tomatoes. What about vegetables like peppers? Would you want to be sowing those a little bit later this month?
A little bit later, about the end of January would be the time for that. With peppers, they take a lot longer than tomatoes do, so I would actually encourage people to maybe get started on their peppers fairly quickly and then wait maybe 2 or 3 weeks for the tomatoes, because the tomatoes do grow quite rapidly, and whereas the peppers just kind of set their roots and it just takes a lot longer there. Where a tomato plant might be planted at the same day, the tomato plant's going to be 12 inches tall and the pepper's going to be 4 inches tall.
What about other vegetables that we may be thinking about planting for spring? Do you want to hold off on those till another time?
Well, it's a little bit early to put them in the ground at this point because the ground's still a little bit cold. We like a warmer temperature in the soil, but it is a good time to at least think about putting some seeds in some pots and keeping them inside. Our last official freeze day is April 15th, but we experiment in our vegetable garden. I think we put them out about the 15th of March in hopes of avoiding that last frost, and we've been successful in the last couple of years with that.
And it's also, I think, a good time on these warmer afternoons to go ahead and start prepping that soil for that vegetable gardening. I actually was talking to a friend the other day who was telling me that her daughter saw the movie The Secret Garden, and now the daughter wants to make a little secret garden out in her backyard. Oh. And the mom, who doesn't really know too much about gardening, was asking me, well, what do I do? Well, this is a good time, if you're listening or if you want to start your own vegetable garden, to start prepping that soil.
Right. That reminds me, we got a call at the last live show about somebody who lived in the Upper Valley who wanted to prepare their soil for a garden. And we didn't give her a lot of detail, but I did some little additional research. And they say because there's so much clay in the soil in the valley, 2 inches of sand and then 3 to 4 inches of leaves or composted material would be the best thing to do. And I think that's just a general good rule of thumb. Sand's not so much so, except in the valley, but the composted material, it's a good time to turn it in. It should have really been turned in maybe in November, December, but this is still not a bad time. It's still early enough. It will compost and it'll disintegrate by the time you're ready to plant in March or April.
Well, a lot of people probably still have poinsettias laying around that may be drying out due to neglect because Christmas is over.
Yes.
But there actually are ways you can hang on to those plants all year long. And I've seen some poinsettias. You wouldn't know they were poinsettias because they didn't have the red bracts, but they have really pretty leaves, and they do really make attractive houseplants.
They need to be pruned back occasionally, but they do take constant water. They are a fun plant. I don't have them personally, but I know other people have a lot of fun with them.
And I've mentioned my Christmas cactuses, yes. And I've got a couple of them at my house, and they're still blooming. But they do get kind of messy because those blooms tend to dry up and fall off. So you do have to sort of clean up that litter.
Right. I've got a bougainvillea inside, and it's doing the same thing. It's blooming like crazy, but the older flowers do fall off. And all those plants go – those blooming plants do go through some cycles.
And if you've put out some trees or shrubs in the fall that you just recently planted, when you bought them, they probably gave you some fertilizer pellets or gave you maybe tips on how to fertilize. But normally we don't advocate that fertilization in that first year, right?
Right. It's really better for the plant to get a slow start as opposed to a fast start. So if you're determined to put some on, put it on maybe a 1/4 or 1/2 strength. But we recommend the second year for most fertilization.
Well, we were talking earlier about pruning trees, but pruning roses, I think, is something that you have a particular interest in. And you were mentioning last week during the live show that the master gardeners are already out there at the Rose Garden doing their winter pruning.
We are. We started Monday this past week. We had about 10 people out there already, and the weather usually cooperates. It's a little cool at 9 o'clock, but it warms up. We'd love to share our expertise with people in the community if you'd like to come out. And we're making a concerted effort with our climbing roses this year to identify them and to prune them at exactly the right times. And we'd be glad to share that information because pruning climbing roses is different than any other type of rose bush.
And what time are the master gardeners out at the Rose Garden in case maybe people want to stop by?
Sure. We're there from 9 to 12, Monday through Friday. And we'll be glad to share the expertise and give you a plant to practice on. We have about
a sacrificial plant.
Right. We can always repair if there's been any damage to a plant, we can just cut it down a little bit further. But we have about 1,700 different plants out there.
Wow.
And many, many, many different varieties. And it's fun to see the different kinds. And believe it or not, this last week, there's still some that have absolutely beautiful blooms on them.
And really quickly, in this final moments that we have, the Master Gardeners are actually going to be involved in a personal enrichment class at El Paso Community College.
Yes.
And it's a home gardening in El Paso class. And you can learn more on that class by calling the Texas AgriLife Extension. They're at 860-2515, 860-2515. You can also directly call the Community College Continuing Education Office. They're at 831-7737, 831-7737. And I'll have the information also on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And I also found the information just by Googling EPCC Home Gardening Class, and that'll take you right to that page.
That's perfect. That's a great program, and it's we've been doing that for about 8 years now, so we're getting better and better at it.
And classes will be starting here very soon, so it's advised that you get on the line and try to contact and register for that class because time is running out. Well, Bill, we have no more time left for our January tips, but I will have them posted on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. And I think the Master Gardeners will be manning the Master Gardener hotline here very soon.
Yes, we'll start the last week of January on that.
So save up your questions, and hopefully we'll be doing a live show here on Good to Grow soon so that we can answer your questions live. Well, we want to thank you so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Bill Hooten.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.